Well, thank you, everyone, for being here, for joining in prayer and worship over this platform once again. We might be getting a bit used to it, but it's still unusual for us. And I want to talk about that a bit today. It's also St. Francis Day. So, you know, our church, of course, is named after St. Francis, so I want to share a bit about that as well. And as you know, our bishop is here, and as she mentioned, she'll be doing something at the coffee hour. I invite you during the coffee hour, if you want to push back on the sermon with her and not me, please go ahead and do that. That'll be just fine. I would probably learn something if you did. You probably would think of something that would have never occurred to me, which would be very valuable. So please, when she's got the conversation going, please feel free to join in as best as you can. I want to start off today with a true story from the history of the Diocese of Virginia. And it's about a priest by the name of Devereux Jarrett. He was ordained at about 31 years old in the 1760s. And he became the rector of Bath Parish in Dinwiddie, which is just south and a little bit west of Petersburg. And in those days, it was in the Diocese of Virginia. Today, it's in the Diocese of Southern Virginia. So we can still claim it as our direct history. What happened with Devereux Jarrett was the stream of revival that was going through the Presbyterians and then the Methodists. He came fully into that. And Bath Parish, which is just a small building at that time, it's still standing, and it attracted hundreds. People would be outside. Meetings other than Sundays would be going on. There would be conversions on the spot, healings, all kinds of things. I mean, it looked like a Pentecostal meeting you would think, what kind of Episcopal church is this? But it was going. And at that time, in that church, during that time of revival, blacks and whites worshiped together at the same place. Now, of course, there was some separation in those days, as there would have been, but it was incredibly integrated during that time of worship. And it went on for years. He sustained that for a number of years. He was the rector there for over 40 years. But these movements, as they occur, tend to wane after a while. And what was going on, not only in the local church, where it was beginning to wane, but the Methodists, with whom he had great friendships and shared a lot of ministry with, even itinerant ministry. He would sometimes go even into North Carolina and hold meetings. They were beginning to change. The Methodists were changing under Francis Asbury, and they were leaving the Anglican Church, which at that time they were part of our church. And here in America, they left. And that was very painful for Devereux Jarrett. It was painful for a couple of reasons. One was he didn't have a lot of Episcopalians thinking he was going in the right path. You know, he was criticized by many other clergy. And the Methodists, he felt they should not have left, that they could still bring a lot of renewal into the church. You know, it reminds me of that old saying that the fire belongs in the fireplace. And that he felt that very deeply. And when they left, it was hurtful to him and painful, and he felt abandoned. And he got kind of bitter. And on top of that, people who started coming to the church and heard about the things when things were waning, they didn't fall into the same practices that he had. And he thought that was not very good either. He was very critical of that. But yet the actual stream of revival went on in this country and in the Methodist Church shortly after Devereux Jarrett's death. A few years after that, there was the Cane Ridge Revival, which sparked a tremendous amount of church planting amongst Methodists. That's why you see so many Methodist church buildings around. It comes from that period. And other Episcopal churches also began growing, and things were changing. But he didn't like the way that they were changing. And he backed off and died a very bitter man. And I think one of the things that was happening with Devereux Jarrett was he could not see the same God doing a new thing. And we could be tempted to that today in where we are. He could not see the same God doing things in a different way. And fortunately, Terry Fulham hadn't been born yet, or he might have heard this quote, "Our God doesn't even make two snowflakes that are alike." But he wanted that repeated. That's the temptation for us today in the middle of a huge change. It's just not a blip. It's not a disruption. We were looking at some metaphors a few months back. You know, is this a snowstorm? Is this a winter? Or is this an ice age? And maybe it's a winter. Maybe it's an ice age. The change will be incredibly large because of it. And our temptation may be to get back to what we had before. And that can block us from seeing God doing a new thing in this reality, in this situation. And in the middle of that, Jesus says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls." Now, I want to give a little angle on that that maybe you never quite thought about. I know I hadn't until this time. Jesus is pointing to this powerful dynamic of discipleship here. And that is, he would have us work from rest instead of rest from work. That's the idea of the Sabbath and the idea of the rest that he's giving us. When you see God giving fruit and blessing it, it is very easy then to get to work, keep working, doing the same thing over and over, looking for the same result until it starts waning, and then jump into that work even more so until we get to the point where we need to rest from work. And that resting from work is just dropping everything, and it can keep us from abiding in Jesus, which may open us up to new vines, new places, new fruitfulness. And that so that habit of regularly taking that time with Jesus, that Sabbath time, can open us up to the new things that begin happening, especially when a new reality starts crashing in on us. And we know that God is there, but we're longing for the way that it was before. It's in that rest out of which we go to work that we can begin seeing the new things. I've shared with you my example of that from my life back some years. At our church, we went through a similar time kind of revival. We were very involved in what was called the Toronto Blessing, and we got involved in a very wide-ranging ecumenical ministry in which we packed a church in North Philadelphia for 30 nights in a row, and I was the person who trained the ministry team, and we kept going and kept going until I got so burnt out. I needed to go someplace and get 3 days of straight of counsel and prayer ministry to just get me back on track. There's more to that, but some other day. I was not in the process of staying in the Spirit. I was in the process of staying in the process. And it tore me up, just tore me up. And I wanted to go back and do the same things that we were doing. But God was doing a new thing. The same God was doing a new thing. Now there's another example, and that's Francis. you know, St. Francis. And of course, there's many examples out of his life. But one of them is at the beginning of his following Jesus and the radical kind of conversion that he had, and just renouncing his great wealth and his lifestyle and all the things that had come before, and then moving forward. And very quickly after that, the Spirit of God saying, renew my church, which is another indication it's time to go into something new. The same God is going to do a new thing. And I think one of the new things that Francis did was to do a new monastic system. Mm-hmm. And monastic systems at those times, those communities had monks. And what monks did was stay in the monastery. Francis got communities together and they had friars. And what friars did was go into the world. The same God was doing a new thing. And Francis just, he kept that up. He kept up all kinds of new things going along instead of the old process. The same God doing the old process. He heard God saying, behold, I'm doing a new thing. And what I'm suggesting is that the rest that Jesus calls us to hear that voice and see those things, will give us eyes to see the same God doing a new thing. And that's what I want to ask, if you see that today. Can you sense the... Well, let me put it this way. We have sensed the presence of God when we gathered in the building and we saw each other, we sang together, we came to the table together, we ate together. It was very powerful. That's not gone. It's becoming new. The same God that we encountered when we sang together and ate together and worshiped together is the same God who is doing that new thing. And this is what I'm going to ask you, and it's the challenge. Do you have an imagination for experiencing God right here on Zoom? This is more than a holding pattern. It's more than checking in until we can get back into the building. This is the place we stand to meet the living God. Right here. Right now. And it may be a way that we've never imagined before, never seen. But it's the same God doing a new thing on a new platform, in a new way. And who knows, from this point, we may walk a path into a country, as it were, that has been undiscovered, and see things that we've never seen or imagined or knew to pray for, but would build us up, and our children and grandchildren after us, in ways we've never imagined, seeing things of Jesus we've never seen. Can you experience that? Can you experience, engage, and even love more dearly the same God who's now doing that kind of a new thing in this platform? Or when we sign off and you're at home, or taking a walk, or whatever it is. If you can do that here, you can do that anywhere. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we know you are the one who says, behold, I do a new thing. And we ask that you would open the eyes of our hearts, that we would see every new thing that you are doing, that you desire for us to see and catch, and that we would have the heart and soul and will and conscience to walk in it all the days of our life, all for the glory of your name. Amen.
Amen.
Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us.
in offering and sacrifice to God. Thank you.